This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
I believe that dreams and plans and wishes can come true. I believe in miracles. I believe in magic too. I believe in Santa Claus and I believe in you. I believe in family, in country and in smile. I believe in turning negatives to positives in life. I believe in looking further up, the further down we get. I believe when someone hurts us, we should forgive and forget. And I believe in Santa Claus. I believe in Santa Claus. I believe love should prepare at any cost. I believe in Santa Claus. I believe in saying what you mean and meaning what you say. I believe a better attitude will make a better way. I believe in viewing life as a journey that we're on, and looking at our troubles as another stepping stone. And I believe life's what it's meant to be. I believe there is a God somewhere, although he's hard to see. I believe I am, so therefore I should do all that I can to be a better piece in the puzzle of God's hand. I believe in Santa Claus. I believe in Santa Claus. I believe there's always hope when all seems lost. Santa Claus, sing it to me, kids.
Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
You have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music dear to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Houston, Galveston, and the world. This is After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on KPFT Houston. This is the December 20th edition. My name is Chris Harrison. I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'm the other one. How you doing? Merry Christmas.
It's about time we start getting back to Christmas weather.
Happy Chinooka.
Oh, yeah, you and your
Chinooka. That's what Stanley calls it. And he's Jewish. I
That's not kosher saying it like that. We have got a busy show.
We do. We have a packed show tonight. Let's talk about the music we just heard.
We started off with Sid Spencer.
The late, great Sid Spencer.
I Believe in Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm. That's such a good album.
Yeah, I heard a different version of the song last week. And Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton singing it.
Oh, ouch.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Well, it was a white trash Christmas play, so... there was actually Kenny Rogers
by and Dolly... By definition.
Yeah. Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton actually had a couple of appearances in the play.
We have a special guest tonight.
Yes.
And we have two special guests tonight, actually. We have the queer music guru of the world, J.D. Doyle, is here. All the way from the Woodlands at this hour. Hello, JD.
Are you waiting?
Yes.
Okay, I can't see you.
He'll be over there in a second.
Okay.
I'm kicking him out of here in a second.
Glad to be back. It's been a few months.
It's been more than a few months, yes.
To the station or just to us?
Us.
Oh, no. He's heard every fourth Monday right here on KPFT during Queer Voices when he does the Queer Music Heritage. It's on a little bit later than it used to be.
And my Christmas show is Monday night at 10. It's very queer Christmas music, music you won't be sick of by now.
Yes.
And there's another 4 hours on my website.
Wow.
Wow. Yes, I've been checking out some of the Christmas stuff on there because I've been telling people some of the odder songs that we play on our on our show here.
And have you played Dirty Gay Christmas yet?
Huh?
Have you played Dirty Gay Christmas yet?
I think most of them I play are a little dirty.
Johnny McGovern?
No, I haven't heard that one.
It's definitely After Hours.
Okay.
I hadn't gotten that bad yet, no. No, the worst I've done was, when the Hatch crew was here screwing up playing Homo Christmas, forgetting about the line of Candy Cane. You know, I remember the Candy Canes up to each other, but... I forgot about the
right,
the word cocks in there.
Yes. And something about labia?
No, that was in the other song I followed up with.
Oh, good.
I went with the 12 Gays of Christmas.
Great.
And I figured the safest version was Venus Envy,
mm-hmm.
forgetting about the 6 pierced labia.
Yeah. Hatch is the teen group that comes on once a month.
I pulled it down about the, I think, to the 7th day of Christmas. I pulled that down and...
Wow.
Crawled under the desk for a while.
I would like J.D. to introduce our special guest tonight.
Very special indeed. Timon West, and it's Timon, T-I-M apostrophe M, West. He's been on the music scene a long time. He was one of the founding members of Deep the Collective, just about one of the premier rap hip-hop groups. And this group is distinctive because they are so smart.
Yeah.
Their music just wows you on an intellectual level, mm-hmm. besides a music level.
Yeah.
So they are just, one of the the leading groups. And he's done solo work on his own. He's very accomplished. He's a teacher. He's a writer.
Motivational speaker.
Yeah, books of poetry.
Yep. And I'm a Houston resident now.
Ta-da!
Which is new, a recent development, but certainly.
I wanted to ask you, what brings you to Houston, not Music City?
Before we get into that, let's play something.
Okay.
Sure.
I picked out a song that I think is really distinctive by Deep the Collective called We Out.
Okay. And I want to mention that we are breaking a tradition that has been here since I took over as producer in 1991.
You're sober?
In that we only play queer Christmas music in the month of December. But since we were lucky enough to get Tim, now we're breaking that tradition.
But we'll have plenty of queer Christmas coming up afterwards.
Oh, yes, we will.
I'll have to use this as motivation to do a queer Christmas hip-hop album.
Absolutely.
For next year.
Good.
I want a copy.
Good.
So here we go.
25, 30 years ago, the barometer of human rights in the United States were black people. That is no longer true. The barometer for judging the character of people in regard to human rights is now those who consider themselves gay, homosexual, lesbian. We are all one. And if we don't know it, we will learn it the hard way.
Point five at all, sissy. Figure how you make me the last time. The last line was missing these additions. I crashed rhymes together, whether be leather, pleather pants, or taffeta. Still they asking you, wrap it up a little faster. Pass the peas and class, the sunbows for yo-yos and negroes with masters and a doctorate. Still I rock the shit for the Stanford MCs. He, she's who telegraph. And standing for your daddy at the reef. Wet and ring in his pocket, wants to sock it till my cake to stink. The clown I found in your dude around, round the lake. Married bakery, engaging fakery and lies. I watch die next to the sweet potato pies. It's 2-5 eyes, the host with trouble, his bubbles. But the brother butter butters his toast as we coast to the stack. And though the lights attract, it's sideways with gaze and all the lights refract through the cracks and slice from your aunts and friends, Karengaites alike, papaya queens and dykes. That's why I write the track. And when it's time to fight, you know I got your back. Like all my kids smack that know the times are twist with high heels and hammerheads and bats and fists. And we out, and we out, and we out, and they out, and we out, and we out. Cause in the hood we're out, it's getting good. We're out. We're here to flirt. We're out. You're getting hurt. We're out. We're here to bust. We're out. So never trust. We're out. We're here to twist. We're out. To bend your wrists. We're out. Cause in the hood. We're out. It's getting good. We're out. We're here to flirt. We're out. You're getting hurt. We're out. We're here to bust. We're out. So never trust. We're out. We're here to twist. We're out. To bend your wrists. We're out.
He started about a light year ago to get here today, and his childhood molestation is not the reason he says that I'm gay. Nor is it a defining factor in the play of choices. You see, he was an actor born into this damn nation, convinced by this whole nation that he was an abomination. They preached, but if only paid attention to, or took the time to mention, or map out, or reach out to a solution, they might find a young one about to reach out of his shell. Cause his soul done swelled. Thank goodness that his bones held, and thank God for their mind meld. Thankfully blessed to interpret these interpretations, expelled as explorations. Difference between God's will and man's word. I know that some are fabrications taught as education throughout none of this nation. Known to be silent, it yields constipation. Gotta be all you can be. Thou preparest the table before he, in the presence of thine enemies. She restores my soul, strengthening my identity. For the namesake, oh, we, though we walk through the valley of shadows of death and dark echoes, we protect it. Don't you see the hello, fellow? We out like mellow, yellow.
Cause in the hood we're out, it's getting good we're out. We're here to flirt we're out, you're getting hurt we're out. We're here to bust we're out, so nigga trust we're out. We're here to twist we're out, so bend your wrist we're out.
Yeah, I'm out. And you done run straight out of luck. Another punk enters the cypher. Smoke this blunt. Styles like monk. Blasting southern speakers like crunk. You hate on a brother way too much. And duck and sit whenever you're drunk. I suggest you check your estrogen levels. Of that spit you claim is next shit. But it's common as devil. What you gonna do with DDC wordplay? You insecure as Mississippi shacks on scraps of hay. This a gay? I thought I was that way since first grade. Your shit's redundant. Like taking extra hits after you're blunted. Go get your beat down back up. Hetero flow from your partner with the hiccups. Get something useful. You need a pickup. Nigga, please. I kick steady. It's Jet Li, you Jet Blue for my clue. I bleed out the nose, it shows. Click your diamond floor stream for donations. I'm a scholar for real, off a vacation. Time of late ass death is about unearned year rap shit. I've been coming for years with that instrument you spit with. My grandma stamina knows women who was in my negro too. While you still recycle it, 1-1-2.
Cause in the hood, we're out. It's getting good, we're out. We're here to flirt, we're out. You're getting hurt, we're out. We're here to bust, we're out. So nigga, trust, we're out. We're here to twist, we're out. To bend your wrist, we're out. We are all one. And if we don't know it, we will learn it the hard way.
Do you know what that voice was, Jimmy?
No.
Bayard Rustin, the beginning and end, who was Martin Luther King's speechwriter, mentor, and very openly gay then, but really pushed back in the closet
this
for those
times.
This
is the first time I heard this, and I'm listening to the words, and I'm just... one name just came to mind, Pat Parker.
Mm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Her poetry just
awoke me back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm overwhelmed.
That's interesting. Really, like, I think one of the things that DDC did as part of sort of being one of the premier sort of gay rap groups, you know, in the mid to late 90s was to really invoke the names of a lot of these people who really kind of, you know, a lot of young people weren't necessarily connecting to the Pat Parkers and the Audre Lordes and the Bayard Rustins and Essex Temple and Melvin Dixon, these writers, these, you know, openly black gay voices, many, most of whom had gone before, just to sort of invoke their names and to say, these are, this is, should be a part of our history.
Absolutely.
And the stories that we need to know.
They were powerful and they lived powerful lives.
Definitely.
And they were out there. And
yeah,
exactly. When no one else was.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So
we cannot forget them.
Definitely.
I want to hear just a bit about your history with Diptych Lefted or DDC.
Yeah. Interesting. You know, I moved to the Bay Area back in 1998 to pursue a PhD. At the time, actually, I was studying philosophy and literature. And, you know, it's interesting because I started rapping in the early 90s, but I came out, or actually I was actually outed in the early 90s. I had no intentions on coming out.
Oh.
And I got caught at one of the gay student group meetings at after walking around the building three or four times to make sure nobody saw me. And actually someone in the group outed me, assuming that because I was there that I was already out.
Oh.
I was actually going, quote unquote, as a supporter. You know, some people come out of the closet through being allies. You know, I realized at that moment I could either try to deny that I was there as a gay person for the rest of my undergraduate years, or just decide to use it as an opportunity to do something I wouldn't have ordinarily done. So I'm really helpful that I'm really grateful that I was outed, because I don't think I would have done it
on your own,
on my own, in the same way. But I was also in a rap group at that particular time, and so when I did come out, you know, hip hop, you know, it didn't start being homophobic with Eminem. It was it's been homophobic since the beginning. I think sometimes people neglect that. And so for me, it was a lot easier to retreat to poetry and spoken word. You know, you can be a gay poet, right? Some of the best poets, or some of the best black poets, were gay.
Yeah.
But to be a gay rapper was something that brought up a lot of other issues because of the tradition of homophobia as a part of one's declaration of their own manhood and their own, you know, braggadocio and bravado. So for me, I kind of left hip hop and ran to poetry. And that's when I started doing a lot of my poetry, because, you know, no one was going to say, well, you can't be a black gay poet. No, most of the best
really
gay poets who are black or gay. So I'm right in the place. But what was interesting about DDC was it was moving to the Bay Area, you know, amidst my graduate degree, being at a poetry reading, and you know, someone had done some really homophobic poem, and this guy next to me was making the same uncomfortable face that I was. And so I said, you know, did that bother you too? And he was like, yeah. And it turns out we were both, you know, queer men.
Oh.
And, you know, and that was Juba Kalamka and myself, and we became sort of the foundation for, and we also had these interesting rap histories that we had left behind because we had come out. So we said, you know, and as opposed to doing this solo, what would it mean to sort of get some guys together who also have histories of being hip hop artists who kind of left hip hop behind because of its homophobia? And now that we have these numbers and we have these shared experiences, what does it mean to kind of come together to produce music? And it kind of started out as a joke. Even the name, you know, Diptych Collective was kind of, you know, there were all these groups, the Vagina Monologues and the Punani Poets, and like all these spaces where women got to sort of celebrate their identity through the genitalia. And we're like, well, why aren't guys talking about, you know, the penis? Of course, we'd use a different word.
Yeah.
And
you can say those words.
And not be jerks, like, and be anti-sexist and be anti-homophobic. And so it was this really great opportunity at first to just do sort of funny, cynical, political work. But the more we got to do it, we took ourselves as a joke. People started, oh, when are you guys going to do another show? Or when are you guys going to produce an album? And the next thing you know, it's like, oh, like, they're taking us seriously. And by, you know, we started out in 99. By 2003, we were the best hip hop group in the Bay Area. And this is like Bay Area Garden Reading Poll. I mean, Reader's Poll, which is like all the mainstream hip-hop groups are a part of that.
Wow.
And we were the best hip-hop group in 2003. So building a following throughout the Bay Area, which I think is unique that we were in the Bay Area able to do that. But I think we had developed a following of not just gay people, but also straights and also just really progressive people who were just really happy that something different was being said in hip hop, something different than what they were hearing on mainstream radio, talking about a variety of issues. You know, so I think that was really important. And I think, you know, for that reason, I think a lot of people, and I teach courses in hip hop, are really always drawn to, you know, the queer hip hop artists, because the mainstream in hip hop has gotten so repetitive and redundant. You know, it's just like my cars, my wheels,
my bling bling,
my bling bling, my hoes, my this and that. And so I think, you know, there's a whole lexicon of language and experiences and stories that queer people get to tell that aren't otherwise heard. And I think that's really important. So I think that in terms of my tradition with DDC, we actually disbanded this year, which is kind of like after almost 10 years now. Wow. So I think next year there's going to be an anniversary, mm-hmm. like a 10-year like best of DDC, which I think is really important. But I think each of us were doing solo projects and started to move in different directions.
Sure,
I didn't want to be stuck in the Bay Area. You know, I grew up in the Arklatex, near Shreveport, mm-hmm. and so for me it was always like, well, how do I get close to home without necessarily, you know, I can't live in Shreveport, I'm sorry,
yeah,
and Arkansas is not going to work. So I said, well, yeah, I'd always thought I would come back to either Dallas or Houston as relatively larger places that had some kind of something going on,
sure.
and for me, you know, people say, well, why would you come to Houston? I said, well, you know, I've always been a builder. You know, I don't necessarily, I think I'm most motivated when I can come to a place and say, okay, there's not a lot going on that I would like to see. So what can I do to bring some artists together and create a scene that doesn't already exist? And that's more motivational for me than being in a place like New York or the Bay Area where there's already a lot going on. So I'm terribly inspired to be here. And any of you musicians and artists out there, whatever your genres, I mean, definitely holler at me on MySpace or whatever. I mean, I'd love to get together, start doing shows, and really create a nice queer music scene here in Houston.
I would love to see that happen. unfortunately, mm-hmm. as JD and I found out,
mm-hmm. it's
queers aren't into it in Houston.
They're not into their own music, or just...
That's right.
Yeah. It's interesting, the first hip-hop show I did here was a straight hip-hop show. So I don't know if that's... And they were into it, but I think they were into it because it was just different. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if... I think maybe the direction is about finding people who just want something different and interesting and not necessarily targeting.
It's very disheartening how people don't turn out for really good talent. Like, mm-hmm. first... name that comes to mind is Eric Hyman, who has like eight albums or so, mm-hmm. very established. People don't turn out
in a local
in a local club anywhere like they should.
Right.
I
wanted to ask, do you think homophobia in hip hop is getting better or worse?
I think it's getting better. I mean, homophobia. I think homophobia is lessening.
Uh-huh.
I think there have been. I think the queer hip hop movement is in part responsible for that, because I think prior to the late 90s, there was this sort of invisibility. There was, you know, there was that Wendy Williams article, like, who is the gay rapper?
Yes.
And it was like, who is it? Like, and it could only be one person, which in some ways really instigated DDC, because we found it insulting that they were asking who the gay rapper was when in fact there were a number of us, you know, Dutch Boy among, you know, Rainbow Flavor was a part of that.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And so we were like, you know, we really need to become more visible, because the insanity of this question, who is the gay rapper, when in fact there are lots of us that exist. So I think it really fueled a coming out in hip hop. And I think with that visibility, there's an accountability. You can't just say whatever you want to say about queer people in hip hop and nobody say anything about it. And it's really interesting now, being on certain hip hop websites and someone makes a homophobic comment or they have a slur in their song, and someone says, and it's not even a gay person, a straight person will say, hey, you know,
they call them on it.
Yeah, we're not, that's not cool to, mm-hmm. to talk about gay people that way. And I don't think that was happening prior to the visibility of the gay hip hop mm-hmm. scene. So I think in some ways that visibility has really created an awareness. I know even Lately, there's been some talk about this artist named Trick Trick. He's touring with Ice Cube in Texas. I got an email about it. And his album is very deliberately homophobic. Like, he basically just goes after, you know, gay and lesbian people, which I think raises some questions about Ice Cube, who's known to be homophobic in his own way. But I think as he's matured, has been a little more sensitive about how to approach that issue. But I know in Austin, they were planning on doing some sort of protest around this artist, you know, featuring with Ice Cube. But I think this is something, people protesting rap shows for being homophobic was something you would have never heard of.
I'm going to interrupt you. Let's get back to your music, because our time is really clicking away here.
Definitely.
Very quickly, introduce the song Stutter for us.
Stutter, yeah. Stutter's an interesting track. You know, it's on a forthcoming project called Insecurity, which is two words. Mm-hmm. Insecurity, the Golden Era, E-R-R-O-R. For two reasons important. The golden era of hip-hop is sort of defines 87 to about 92, 93. And when hip-hop music was really political. You had Public Enemy. You had a lot of groups that were really talking about the systems of power and how people can rise up and sort of and confront that. And for me, like, so much of my interest in hip-hop comes out of that political tradition. And as hip-hop became more capitalistic, there became more of a need to sort of don't talk about politics, talk about your cars, talk about your women, talk about all, you know, all these things that don't matter. And so for me, calling something the golden era is about, at least phonetically, it's a double entendre. It's also about hearkening that period of the golden era, but also, you know, what if we saw our insecurities as opportunities for change and growth? And so the album deals with a lot of my own personal autobiographical insecurities. I have a song called Bump. I have this cyst on my forehead. Mm-hmm. It's cosmetic. I haven't been able to just raise the money to get it removed. And, you know, I remember Rosie O'Donnell at the Out 100 Awards one time asked me about it, and I was like, well, are you going to pay for me to get it removed? but I have a song on the album called Bump, and it's about this, but it's also about how essential Bump is to hip-hop music. So you can't have hip-hop without the Bump. It's sort of a play on the thing. I have another song called Stutter, and Stutter is a song that basically, I grew up with a speech impediment called stuttering, which is how my birth name, Timothy, became Timim, because I could not say my name without stuttering on Tim. And so, but also, you know, the song sort of deals with other icons and celebrities who I wish I had known at the time that Joe Biden was a stutter. I would have added his name in the song as well. But, you know, Marilyn Monroe, Bruce Willis, Winston Churchill, all these people, James Earl Jones, who are eloquent speakers who had stuttering issues. And basically it's a song about sort of taking the insecurity and actually using the insecurity as a fuel for your own growth and change. And I think that's what queer people do, right? We take the very weapons used against us to put us down, and we change that into something that really becomes our power and our strength.
Let's get to the song. This is from an album not released yet. The song is called Stutter.
This is for any kid out there struggling with language, like I did as a kid, trying to get the words right, trying to win the fight over fear. No, we're still here. Even if we outgrow the stutter and the words seem clear, don't ever have no shame in your game. Everybody stutter when they say my name.
Stutter, wonder if no man can put us under. We hesitate and blunder, afraid to be it manifest in speech. Insecure, we stutter, wonder if no man can put us under. We hesitate and blunder, just like the beat repeats. Sometimes we.
I ain't got no speech disorder. I just sometimes sort of experience this. Disruption and repetition when I'm on a mission to be this. And anyone who say I can't prolong my sounds, make syllabic flows, rhythmic, grounds my words. Never becoming absurd, unable to start words. Cause boys are more likely to stutter than girls. Be little kids searching for the right words. Get it right like is preferred. Speech impediment deterred. I am powerful beyond measure. Where words are my treasure. Poetry, my lifeblood, my pleasure. I can speak, therefore I am. Speech therapists say I can. Even when I didn't know where the words went, when I had to vent. People so critical, it make no sense. Of a brother on some other, a fighter and a lover, had to learn to be confident. Timothy baptized to begin again. Sometimes I say stuck on how that feels, but we overcome like Winston Churchill.
Wonder if no man can put us under. We hesitate and blunder, afraid to be it manifest in speech. Insecure we wonder if no man can put us under. We hesitate and blunder, just like the beat repeats. Sometimes we
can't speak if we scurred. The words won't come out if we still ride dirt. Stuck in the muck of this terrain that's called our earth. I say we can do it, flow like fluid, just like Obama. Yes, we can, but we gotta comprehend the plan to embrace whatever makes us afraid. Caught in the maze of all that the times were before, when more seems less and less didn't give us any more. The score had us losing, sometimes choosing to defer. Our magic, alphabetic, acrobatics, punk chorus like in the Harlem Renaissance, making that paper like fire. Zora Langston and Bruce inspired, the rabbit conspired to express what word becomes flesh, no longer object, become the subject of an intelligent freedom. I believe a sense of stutterer will lead them smooth like James Earl Jones. Can you feel that freedom poem?
Wonder if no man can put us under. We hesitate and blunder, afraid to be it manifest in speech. Insecure we stutter. Wonder if no man can put us under. We hesitate and blunder, just like the beat repeats. Sometimes we
I'm so smart, too quick I think. Get to be so tight on the mic, my eyes blink. Not trying to wink at you, just doing what a gotta do to spit my truth. It ain't always been this easy for sheezy. Nervous the words they leave me. But when I sang or when I was acting, seldom stuttered when I was happy or laughing. The words always came out right in spite of the fight between capacity and might. Listen with attention, I'm alright, cause it helped me see the light. I'm a diehard stutterer, though I don't do it no more. Like Bruce Willis in the pitch shows, I like Marilyn Monroe, Carly Simon, who's voice pure. And I'm just the next installation of a stuttering nation. Reaching back and relating, cause the words didn't kill us, make us stronger, even if it took a little longer.
I love that. I love how you took an obstacle and made it something to work with.
Was this a catharsis for you, doing this?
This song?
This song or this album, even?
I think this album was, it was a catharsis on a lot of levels because, because it was, you know, there are these things that you live with. And it's interesting because I think I think Miss Money deals with this a lot. Like, are you a gay hip hop artist or are you a hip hop artist that just sort of happens to be gay?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very clear. Like, a lot of my music, Stutter, for example, doesn't deliberately mention my sexual orientation. I think I'm so comfortable with my sexual orientation that I don't feel a need always to talk about it. But I think it's definitely connected to these other areas of insecurity that I've had to deal with. And so, you know, you look at to be insecurity, right? But I'm actually comfortable with I'm insecurity with my insecurities is sort of the really brave and really fun thing about this project is that, you know, and I think it's kind of like, you know, I'm going to make fun of myself before you get to make fun of me. So you can't make fun of the bump on my head because I just did a song about bump and like how hip hop can't live without the bump. Or you can't talk about my stutter because I'm doing a song where I stutter throughout the whole song. So it's really just this idea. And I think it's something that I learned from sort of camp or, you know, black gay men reading each other. You know, just this idea that we can take these wit and these things and we've developed this thick skin that enables us to really be strong when the enemy so forth attack. So it's been really interesting. Been a lot of fun. Like I said, I moved to Houston. Most of this album has actually been conceptualized and done right here locally.
Oh.
My executive producer is a local person.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just been really fun to kind of do something. This is actually the first album I've done. A lot of my albums refer to my experience growing up in the South in Arkansas, but this is the first one that's actually been done primarily in Houston and Atlanta. So to me, that's something very special, because I think a lot of times, you know, the queer hip hop scene has primarily been dominated by the coast, right? New York,
absolutely,
San Francisco. And so even within my work with DDC, I'm like, you know, I'm from Arkansas, like I'm from the South. And I think it's really important to, I think sometimes people don't feel like there can be those progressive kind of opinions from people who are from the South. And so I'm really proud to be in Houston for that reason. And I know whatever obstacles are there, I think, you know, that we will begin to sort of slowly but surely cultivate some awareness in a scene where people can come to appreciate the kind of work that we bring. So speaking of which, I know there was a question early about like why Houston. Well, I moved here for love back in June, and actually, unfortunately, perhaps that relationship very recently ended. You know, unfortunately, I think for me, I didn't want it to, but in all sense, I still feel like, and people would say, well, they said, you know, well, the relationship's over, are you going to stay in Houston? And I said, absolutely. You know, if that was the reason, if that was the thing that got me to Houston, I'm really happy for that, you know, and I'm really pleased about that. And I definitely plan on making Houston work. You know, and actually, funny enough, because of my work with DDC and this new group called The Cure that's here, and also Miss Money's work, people are actually seeing Houston as like one of the places with a kind of critical mass of queer hip hop artists, mm-hmm. which I think is really good. Like, why not build on that a little bit? And I also know Austin has a few artists and Dallas has a few artists as well. So maybe sort of building Texas as kind of one of the places where a lot of interesting.
It's going to be a little on the tough side since we don't have a weekly gay newspaper anymore.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's hard to get the word out,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Or you have to do it in different ways.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you know, there are a lot of different things happening. Except my connections, in addition to being a hip hop artist, I'm also an activist. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I know there's a HIV Plus magazine. I'm the cover boy for January, February, which is really interesting. So a lot of people are like, even locally, oh, I've seen that guy in the Montrose. Like, you know, he's here, and you know, he's on the cover of this magazine. So people are starting to go, oh, well, gosh, you know, we, you know, maybe there's something here that we need to kind of pay a bit of attention to, because, you know, when I'm in California, I'm a little bit of a superstar. So, like, why not in Houston? You know, that I hope that, you know, and it's not about for me being a superstar, but about sort of representing change. I think, you know, especially with the election that just happened, we're in a yes. really interesting position to sort of get people to think about, well, what does this mean? What does it mean to change the way we think about things? And, you know, I mean, even despite what happened with my relationship, I was very active in the No One Eight campaign. Mm-hmm. I raised money. I sold chapbooks. I had a book called Love in Full Color, which is a book of like romantic poems, some to my partner and others to just throughout my history. And, you know, money proceeds from that went to sort of fight, you know,
good for you.
Proposition 8. So I think the new political voice, and I think that, you know, the queer community has to really take notice of the potential to use the arts to inspire political change, because especially the younger generations, they're not really moved by the sort of dry political, you know, talk and discourse. It's kind
they
of like
from a different place than
they come
do.
From a very different place. Yeah. But if you can put it in a song, you know, if you can play a song like Positive, mm-hmm. which, you know, sort of creatively talks about my own HIV status as mm-hmm. someone who's been positive now for almost 10 years. And wow, like, you know, people told me when I moved here, you can't tell people you're HIV positive in Houston, like they'll outcast you. And I said, well, okay, I love being told I can't do something, you know, and this is just an opportunity for me to do that. So
I can tell you from experience, they were correct.
And I've experienced some of that, but I've also experienced so many people locally email me and say, you know what, I'm so glad there's somebody here who's talking about their HIV status
yes.
and is open and honest. And I feel like there's a light at the end of the tunnel and there's hope. And I got to talk about that in the article in HIV Plus, which is an international publication. Mm-hmm. But I got to talk about going to spoken word shows in Houston and doing a piece that made people feel a little uncomfortable. But how that, you know, even though they may not respond with applause immediately, I guarantee you they're talking about that piece after they leave. You know, they're having conversations, even if it's not, oh, we love that guy. It's like, wow, you know, he got up there and did a piece about, you know, something we don't really talk about. Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of it, is you have to be willing to take the risk and hope that, you know, if one or two people feel braver to talk about that subject next time, or if the next time someone does a poem about being gay or being, you know, HIV positive or whatever it is, it won't be new anymore, you know.
I can see where you would be a very good motivational speaker.
I have a couple general genre questions.
Oh, sure.
What GLBT hip-hop artist is currently the most successful?
You know, it's interesting. I did a tour recently with a new artist called Last Defense. I know he's definitely one of the up-and-coming artists who's definitely popular, but the other person I toured with, we called it the Hard Gay Tour.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted to sort of play on this idea of being, you know, masculine gay black men. This was right after the election. We toured in four cities. It was a mini tour, Humboldt County, San Francisco, Oakland, San Diego, and we finished it off in LA at the Tory Fix CD release party.
Yeah.
But it was really interesting. I think Deadly is definitely one in terms of the number of people who know about his presence because of his work. He was on CNN. He was on Tyra Banks. Tory Fix is another artist.
Love
that is
Tory.
Very,
yeah,
well known, because Tory produced most of Black Boy Blues, which is my second album. So in addition to his role as a rapper, he's also a producer who's really trying to give voice through his music production to a lot of other artists as well. Now, Melange Lavange is definitely someone who's
up and coming,
up and coming as an artist and as a woman in the scene. But there's so many now. You know, if
how about Captain Magic?
Captain Magic, you know, I'm not as familiar with his work.
I just got his album, and you know,
it's good.
That's what I thought too, and yeah. I wasn't really open to it because
mm-hmm.
the visuals. I thought, oh well, this guy may not know what he's doing, but I listened to it and. Well, there's mm-hmm. something here.
No, and I think, you know, it speaks to, you know, a queer hip-hop scene that was, you know, when we were in the late 90s, when you look at something like Pick Up the Mic, there were like 10 or 12 sort of seminal artists. And now OutHipHop.com, which is a website, just celebrated their 100th queer hip-hop artist.
Wow.
So you're talking about in a matter of years, like going from a scene of like maybe 15 to over 100 internationally. I think it's definitely, mm-hmm. and these are people who tour independently, who do their own shows. So I think there's something going on with, mm-hmm. with queer hip hop.
I did a special on QMH a year ago on mm-hmm. gay hip hop, and it was a 3-hour special and
yeah.
covered a lot of ground. You know, mm-hmm. Goddess and She and
oh yeah,
and,
yeah,
and all those folks
exactly. And if you look at the Click Listen logo, a lot of the artists that are on there are the queer hip hop artist. So I think there's something. I'm hopeful that I'll find someone here locally that can get behind a camera and help me with a music video. I mean I've done 3 albums. I had one music video that just was kind of my own little creative project, but for this next album I'd love to do a video, for example, for Stutter.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'd love to use Stutter as a teaching tool at schools.
Why not soul mate?
For kids that have speech impediments and say, hey, here's a song, you don't have to be ashamed of your speech impediment.
Well, yeah,
like here's
well.
Something that you can be proud of. So I think, you know, also I think that comes from, you know, my albums. It's interesting. JD asked me like what songs I had that were sort of clean or radio friendly, and I had never even thought about it until you asked, and I sit and made a list, and I was actually surprised at how many songs are like pretty straight up clean. I think maybe some of that has to do with the fact that I do have a daughter.
Well, we have to think about that. Jimmy and I have to think about it. More so I do.
Oh, certainly. Yeah. Yeah. But like, you know, I have a daughter, I've taught at high schools, and so I think part of my consciousness is as much as possible to try to create music, because I mean, when you're queer, there's already this strike against you, right? And it's interesting because when we did the Hard Gay Tour, there were people that that came from the school, and they were like, well, it was really great, but they were like, you know, some of the lyrics are sort of vulgar. And I kept thinking to myself, have they ever been to a hip hop concert?
Really?
Like, I mean, just in general, I was like, you know, when, I mean, the stuff that we did was like no way nearly as vulgar as some of the stuff I've heard at general hip hop concerts. And so part of it was like, was the vulgarity about you've never heard queer people talk about, you've never heard boys talk about.
It's a tough balance between the artistic freedom and getting airplay.
No, but I think you're hitting on it. If it's straight sexual things, okay.
People are used to it.
But if it's gay,
exactly.
It's like, that hurts my ears.
Yeah, which is really interesting, and I think sometimes, you know, like a song like Gone, for example, which maybe we'll have time to play here. It's a really interesting song. This rapper named Common, mm-hmm. who's pretty common, did a song called I Used to Love Her, where he used a relationship with a woman as a metaphor for a hip hop that was going in the wrong direction, becoming more capitalistic and getting away from the sort of bare elements. Sure. And so I said, well, I want to do my I Used to Love Her hip hop song about a hip hop gone wrong, but I want to use a guy in a relationship with a guy as a sort of metaphor to channel mm-hmm. that message. And it's actually one of the more popular songs on Black Boy Blues because, you know, people that are accustomed to hip-hop music and who also have challenges with some of where hip-hop has gone, say, wow, like to use this love story, this romance between these two guys as a way to tell a story about hip-hop is really creative and interesting. And that's one of the places, that's probably one of the more overt places on the album where I actually own my sexuality as a gay man, because I'm talking about, you know, I met this guy and he was hot and, you know,
oh.
right. But it's really a reference to hip hop. It's talking about hip hop is actually the guy that I'm talking about. And, so it's really interesting in that sense. And then yet there's songs that I do that I'm very deliberate about. Well, I want it to have some sort of market appeal. And so what if I'm not going to rap about women necessarily, but I can make it something that's gender neutral. So mm-hmm. anybody listening to the song can kind of relate this to their experience, and I think that's really important. I mean, growing up as a kid in Arkansas, I remember how I used to sing the female ballads.
Oh, we all
and,
did.
And not change the pronouns on purpose, because yeah. it was like, this was an opportunity for me to sort of own my attraction to men is by singing something by Whitney Houston or whomever, and mm-hmm. just, and the people say, you know, he's all the man that I need, right? And then people say, well, why don't you change the pronouns? Like, well, that would be inauthentic, because that's, she sung it that way, so I'm going to, really, what I knew is that, hey,
the copyright people wouldn't let me.
Well, back in the 30s, 20s, and 30s, mm-hmm. you couldn't.
Right, change. You couldn't change the pronouns in the 30s.
Yeah. They wouldn't let you
the
change.
The publishers would right. not let you.
No. Wow. So you have Bing Crosby singing songs about...
Bing Crosby sang, Ain't No Sweet Man Worth the Salt of My Tears.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, it is wonderful. And so it's interesting how these spaces get created mm-hmm. In music to sort of... to voice the truth about sexuality.
Well,
but there are a lot, I mean, the artists that are after me, this Last Offense character, he's so much more overt, and, you know, he has a song where he says, I'm a very big fag, very big rainbow, very big flag. It's simple line, but I just find it so funny, because and that's him. He's this, you know, very masculine, sort of macho kind of rapper, but he's so overt about his gay sexuality in a way that I'm not even comfortable being. And I think that to me, that's just, but he, you know, he's very, he's like, you know, I wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't for Deep Dick Collective, yeah. if it wasn't for DDC. And
he's standing on your shoulders.
So he's yeah. honoring that, like, that there's a tradition that came before that really opened a lot of doors for him to be a lot more open and yet understands the challenges that I think personally, he's the most talented new guy in the game, and that if he was rapping about non-gay subjects, he would very easily have a big record deal.
Wow.
So definitely somebody you should check out. He has a EP on his MySpace page that's downloadable for free. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much stuff you could play from him, because he is pretty
pretty specific.
Yeah, he's very, very specific in owning his gay identity, but definitely just a smart, intelligent, great guy. Who I'm happy to have toured with, along with Dead Lee.
Well, you say there's no video, but you were a very prominent part of the movie Pick Up the Mic.
Yes.
Yes. yes.
And this is like a reunion here. We were all in it.
I was
in it for 8 seconds. I think Jimmy had 20 seconds.
Yeah.
I was telling him, I was like, yeah, you were both in the film, and that's where I remember it. I remember the scene from Houston.
Is that
in
how
the show.
You knew who I was?
That's how I knew who you were, from seeing the show.
Wow.
From seeing the show, and I said to myself,
20
I said,
seconds,
you know,
yeah.
Yeah, I said, both of you guys, I said, wow, like they were in the pickup.
I remember it, you know, they were coming in and said, oh, we're going to do this for a documentary, and I thought, yeah, whatever, and totally forgot about it.
And then it was on Logo, and then I also said to myself, well, these are two people that I need to connect with when I move to Houston, because, I moved here for love, but I'm not leaving the music part of me behind and some of those connections, so I'm just really grateful.
I would
to
love
have
to see you build it up.
Yeah, yeah, and maybe we can do something around, like, I'm hoping to do another front porch event. The first mm-hmm. one that we had, we actually held at the Montrose Counseling Center in collaboration with a black gay men's group called the Men's Gathering.
Yes.
And we had about 75 people people there. And we had artists who were both straight and gay participating in that show. And it was just a really good reception, great energy, and people have been asking me, when are you going to do another one? So I'm hoping to really put on another show and maybe find a way to, you know, help get the word out about it.
Yes,
definitely.
Like I said, it's tough around here in this town without mm-hmm. a weekly newspaper.
Exactly.
You know, if we have monthlies, but you know, you have to have all the information
so far in advance.
Yeah, it's really tough.
Yeah, I'm hoping to do something with Outsmart, maybe even get them to do an album review or something, just to kind of get the word out there.
They'll do it. They're easy to work with.
Cool.
Very easy to work with over there.
How has your music changed over the years?
That's interesting. You know, my first album, Songs from Red Dirt, it's even challenging sometimes to call it a hip hop album, because it's a lot of it's folk inspired, a lot of it's blues inspired. I'm a huge house head. I love dance music and house music, and so I even, you know, sing as much as I rap on a lot of my songs. And that's very different, right? You know, the machismo black male rapper doesn't sing. That's kind of seen as soft.
Don't you have a song that incorporates house in it?
There's several songs. Yeah. Playboys is one song mm-hmm. in particular that talks about just being at the club and dancing mm-hmm. and sort of, you know, just the sort of joyousness that happens when people are sort of enjoying the music and the vibe. Soulmate is actually another song that that also incorporates house music. So that's something I always continue to try to bring to the fore, because, you know, I came out in late 80s, early 90s. And so it's really interesting. When you went to gay clubs, they played house music. Like, that was just a given.
Yeah, that's gay music.
That's gay music. But it's interesting, especially in some of the urban areas, you started to see hip-hop and R&B and pop start to replace house music. And I find that kind of sad. So, like, now, at least at some of the black clubs that you go to, it's really interesting because you could just have the radio playing. It would be the same 10 songs rotating over and over again. And for me, like, we went to gay clubs because we're going to hear something we wouldn't hear anywhere
else. Something new.
Mm-hmm. Something new. And so mm-hmm. that shift has kind of, you know, been somewhat concerning to me. And anything I can do to sort of keep that tradition alive. And in particular, all the gay DJs that played in the clubs, so many of them who've passed away. Like, just to me, it's a huge, rich part of our tradition musically. Those gay DJs, the house music, the house music started in Chicago. A lot of gay men and gay black men were a part of that tradition. So to me, that's like really something to uphold. It's something that we did. It's a part of our queer music heritage.
He's paying attention. Here's a question artists hate.
Okay.
Pick a song that you've written of which you're the most proud.
Wow.
Which one of your children do you like the best?
I know,
that's
right?
What I get. Pick among my babies.
It's interesting. The song that I'm most proud of, and it's kind of interesting. It's probably one of the hardest songs I ever wrote, and it's a song that's on my forthcoming project called Full Moon. It was one of those rough conversations. I'm in California teaching, and my partner and I are having some relationship difficulties. I'm at rallies talking about gay marriage and the importance of it and commitment. And that same night, this full moon appears, and I realize, like, my relationship is, like, crumbling. And I wrote a song about, you know, just trying to get love right. And I thought, like, wow, you don't hear a lot of love songs in hip-hop, you know.
No.
And certainly not, like, sort of sappy, like, oh, everything is wonderful, but, like, you know, this is the hard stuff. And so, and just musically, I think it's a really fun song that a lot of people connect to. It's a very human song that, like, people, you know, I remember the first day I put it up on MySpace, it got like 300 hits. So to me, that says something about there's something in this song that really resonates with people, which I guess to your question of how has my music changed, you know, there's that selfish part of you that's like, I'm going to do what I like and what's important to me and what I like to hear. And then there's that part of me that's like, you know, I really do want to create change through my music. And so with that, I have to listen to, what are people listening to? Like, what, how do I tap into everything that's sort of popular? And if that means that I have to make a few sacrifices here and there, like, for example, I'm not that familiar with the whole screw sound in Houston, the hip hops, mm-hmm. Slowing it down, the screw. But like, I would love to do a song like that if it meant getting some local people in hip hop to be a little more receptive to my work. And some people say, hey, that's selling out. Why would you do that? And I say, hey, it's not selling out if, in fact, you create a conversation to open the door for the hip hop scene in Houston, which in general is a pretty big scene on the national levels, with Scarface and a lot of those people being here, and these are people that, hit me up on MySpace and say, hey, you're doing some interesting stuff, and I'm not hiding that I'm gay. So for me, there's some open doors and some opportunities, not to just make a difference in the gay community. I think, we do a lot of preaching to the choir. Some of the apathy that the queer community feels is just that, okay, like, we get it, and I think part of it now is about branching out beyond, the queer community.
Well, you can't change the world if you can't get people to listen to what you have to say.
Exactly. It's so important. I always tell people, I said that black people didn't elect Barack Obama. White people did. I mean, it's true. Analogous. I think these propositions like 8 and whatever, it's going to be, and that's not to say that, queer mobilization and people coming together isn't important, but we get it. Like, we think, for the most part, we may have our differences and nuances about it, but we understand these rights are important. But it's going up, driving to Arkansas and having conversations with my mother and my siblings and friends I went to high school about why this is important to me. That is really going to make the difference and the change. Yeah. Not talking to the people that already...
Not Montrose people. Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to go out to Pasadena.
Exactly.
And talking.
Yeah.
Well, pick the song you're most proud of. Well, the artists refuse to answer that question, and some of them have.
Really?
Then I ask, turn around and say, well, which song gets the most audience reaction?
Which song gets the most audience reaction?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. I would say Full Moon, interestingly enough, is one of them that gets the most reaction, but also Gone, I think, is a big one, just because it tells a story about two boys falling in love and one of them having some issues with the closet and how that leads to this person's demise. So it's a really interesting, funny song, but it's also, it has a tragic sort of ending, but it's also about how hip hop lost a sense of its true self.
Do we have time to cue that up?
There's a saying in hip hop. Oh yeah, that could be interesting to play that.
The song Gone,
which is on Black Boy Blues, and it's interesting because it's, people talk about in hip hop, one of the main sayings is keeping it real. Like, I'm keeping it real, And
I hear that a lot, but I don't think.
What does that really mean?
I don't think they know.
Like,
what it means.
It's like when people talk about keeping it real. Yeah, and it's just like, I've never shot anybody, and I'm scared of getting shot. But in hip hop, I'm supposed to say, I'm not scared of getting shot and I'll blow 10 people's heads off. No. Like, so for me, I think I'm keeping it real by being honest that these are not things I'm interested in doing, nor do I want to be the victim of any kind of gun violence. That's keeping it real. But in fact, what's called real hip hop, is actually not very real at all. And I think that's where the people who are gay and lesbian in hip hop really have an opportunity to bring the real back to hip hop. If you listen to Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five and their song The Message, they were talking about poverty and being hungry and, not being able to pay their bills and just real life issues. And hip hop has really gotten away from that, with all the bling bling.
And now it's convertibles and
Convertibles that they don't even own, really,
Yeah.
I think it's going to play Gone, which is...
We're going to do that at the top of the hour after we do our ID.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, I think it's early enough. I can do it now.
Okay.
On that. You're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast. KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
Hip-hop story for the books.
Hey,
and I'm feeling so good. generously discursive. Seemed to flow with confidence in his purpose. Impressed with his verbal skills, I felt the flow was sick. Even if it had a funny twist to it, wasn't trying to conform to be mainstream. Was an energetic cat and his pumas were clean. I was gonna ask him out if I could decipher the cipher to see if he like him, just like he like her. Turned out he liked me and that was all that mattered to me. And we was two B-boys feeling the chemistry. Then someone suspected that he wasn't hard enough. They contracted to make him more tough. Gave him gas cause he lacked that. Offered his dialect and originality. Compromised his self-respect. It was a travesty. Went from fighting the power to hustling power. We split, realized he was a coward. Another chance, maybe he was a victim of circumstance, forced to be somebody he wasn't. He was far from thug, just a dope freestyler I used to love. Even wondered if he'd been on drugs. He was spent like a crackhead, talking about bullets to the head, feeling bodies with lead until they dead. But dude couldn't hold a gun if he gave him one. Now every other word he said,
yes,
and there he was in the videos, pouring champagne on naked women. You would have thought it was his religion. Figured he sold his soul for a high enough price. Once I'm bar barking shit like the price was right. And I was there trying to bargain to get him back. But it seems you wasn't cool like that. He said,
yo, son, I'm sorry, I'm a changed man. I used to love you, but now you ain't a part of the plan.
Why we can't be together, though we've been through some stormy weather. Might be harsh, but I'ma try to keep it real with you. It was never my intention to have you feeling like a black boy blue. Number one, you a homo, where you trying to live through. Two, I'm simply tired of being broke, I want more. And I make more money than I did before. Three, spitting this gangster shit makes my cell sore. Four, people respect me for living a lie. Trying to be myself, I wish I had died. Got tired of not being man enough to be proud to love you back like you say man up. I lost hope for hip hop and I lost you. It's a coping mechanism cause I've been missing you. Said I really didn't think there was a future for us. I know it's wrong, put the gun to his temple and now he's gone. And I'm feeling so
Boy Blues and the song Gone, and we're having interesting conversations during the songs that you're not hearing.
Yeah.
Timon was just telling us about who helped him with that album.
Yeah, Black Boy Blues is really, it's something I'm proud of, in addition to Tori Fix, Grand Royal out of Brooklyn, New York, as well as Eddie J. Free out of Cincinnati, three, you know, gay producers. And, you know, just great music. And so sometimes I think that the front man in hip hop gets a lot of attention. But to think that this was an album that was entirely produced and created and conceptualized by gay people at every end of it, even the cover art design of the album and everything else was done by, you know, friends of mine who are gay. And for me, that's really important. Like, you know, some sort of self-determined, keeping it in the community, you know, giving graphic designers who are gay work because they're interested in having their art seen, are giving gay producers work because they're interested in having their music heard, as well as giving other gay rappers. Tori Fix and I have a few vocal collaborations on the album, but also there's some other rappers as well that are on there as well. So it gives me an opportunity to say, hey, here's who I like that's coming out. And I have a little bit of, you know, in terms of who the better known hip hop artists are who are gay, I'm probably one of them. So, you know, to sort of use that influence. And I think, you know, I'm in an interesting position. There was a hip hop film done called Hip Hop Beyond Beats and Rhymes, which is a straight hip hop documentary with like Fat Joe and some of these other rappers. And I was the only gay rap artist that was featured in that particular documentary. So there's a way in which my music has a little bit of respectability in the straight hip hop scene. Because I've been around with DDC and I've been doing solo work. And so for me, if I can use that legitimacy to bring attention to the larger movement, that's it's not about just me. You know, I'm aware, like, I'm approaching 40. So, I mean, I'm not going to be rapping forever. But if I can create some channels and some vehicles for some of the younger rappers to go, you know, I always say I probably won't get an Emmy, but one of the rappers who's gay and who does break through will probably mention my name as one of the people, you know, that they thank.
Who
paved the way. And I think that's, you know, it's the sort of the way that, you know, Hattie McDaniel gets appreciated through Halle Berry, mm-hmm. you know?
Right. Yeah. What's your favorite interview question?
Ooh, can I say what my least favorite?
Okay, let's start
my least favorite is, so what's it like to be gay in hip hop? it's like, gosh, that's just a really lazy question. I don't know. It's like, you know, it's, I think they want this like really psychopathic.
It's like to be gay in the grocery store, you know?
Yeah, it's like, you know, what's it like to shop for groceries as a gay man? It's like, you know, let's see, I go to the cereal aisle first, maybe? I don't know.
Querios.
I guess in a good question, or a question that I think I tend to like, would probably have to do with my inspirations. I think that's really important. Because a lot of times people don't get to say when they listen to an album what inspired this album and who do they listen to. And some people would be really surprised. There's a song on my new album called 80s Babies, which mm-hmm. I'm sure you've heard.
Yes.
Did you hear some of the groups I mentioned?
Oh, yes, and I was surprised.
It's a broad range of people from like Level 42 and Culture Club and Pat Benatar and Billy Idol to like the Fat Boys. And, you know, it's this really broad range of things. And I remember growing up and just being inspired by all this music, Hart and Corey Hart and, you know, and you know, the Thompson Twins.
Who knew?
And people go, well, wow, like, here's this hip hop artist who's giving these shout outs to all these 80s bands. And I'm like, my hip hop would not be possible without these inspirations. And
all those people that you mentioned changed the face of
music. They did. And especially for me.
And you soaked that in.
I did. Well, and it was also about my identity as a gay man. The 80s, and I used to jokingly tell my mom, you know, it was the 80s music that made me gay. Because, I mean, but you saw so much gender bending and so much blurring of gender
identity. It's Boy George's fault.
Yeah, it's all Boy George's fault. I mean, but it's really interesting to look back at that time and say, wow, like, I was somehow able to feel like there was hope out there for me as a gay man because of Boy George, or because of George Michael, even though, I mean, I knew he was gay. I guess a lot of people were surprised when he came out, but I was like, nah, you know, wake me up before you go, yeah. You know, you know, even connecting to a lot of artists during that era was just really important in terms of my own self-affirmation. And what a blessing it is now to be able to say out in the open, I'm gay, like in your songs. And so I think that's really important too. And my friend Juba, who's my comrade in DDC, often says people will come back and say that you didn't mean what you said. Your family's, you know, I mean, I'm a black gay man living with HIV. You know, I'm fortunate to be healthy and be living well, and I plan to be around for a lot longer. But I'm also reminded of the story of Essex Hemphill, who died in 95, I believe. Mm-hmm. Definitely one of my profound inspirations. And after he died, after all this work of talking about being proud and black and gay, his family denied entrance to a lot of people at his funeral. They said that he repented to God at his deathbed, and that, you know, and anybody who read this man's work would be like, come on, like, this is ridiculous. And so for me, it's really important. You know, and my family, if you're listening, if you say that I wasn't gay after I die, they're going to you know, do something dramatic at the funeral or something.
It's on the CD.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Play my CDs or something. Yeah. Play my, I think Boys Are Sexy songs at the funeral or whatever you have to do just to sort of honor the way that I want to be remembered. And I think it's really important. That's why it's important to name things in the present, because in particular in the Black community, there's a lot of homophobia.
Yes, there is.
And I don't necessarily think more than anywhere else, but I think there's just this kind of fear about talking about it out in the open. And, you know, I think, you know, it's kind of fun for me to be in Houston for that reason, because I will say things that other people are just like, I can't believe you just said that, you know. And I think, you know, but, you know, inevitably one or two people after go, wow, like, thank you. Like, you know, we've been waiting for someone who's brave enough to say that. And I'm aware that, you know, I'm a masculine guy. I can bench press 250 pounds. You know.
Wow.
Yeah, you're not just going to walk up to me and say, you know, I'm going to intimidate this punk. No, you might get your butt kicked. So, and I wield that sort of power and authority in my voice as someone who benefits from my masculine privilege to say, no, for a second, you're going to sit here and listen to this. Because
you are masculine, people will listen to you.
And people will listen to me. Yeah. Because they're not so armed immediately. They go, oh, wow, he looks like a regular guy. Mm-hmm. And I can do a song like Stutter, and they're like, wow, that was great. And then I can say, okay, now I'm going to do the boy song.
Yeah.
and then they're kind of caught. I actually had that instance. I went to a spoken word venue in Houston. I did one piece that was sort of like Black Revolution type thing, and everyone was like, yay. And so the next piece, I did a piece which was my HIV coming out story, which talked about how homophobia was part of what led to my getting infected.
And they got all nervous.
And they were all nervous. Ceiling, but huh? It was interesting because the host said, you guys loved him when he did the first piece. And she said, I think it's very interesting that nobody clapped on the second piece. I want you all to think about that. So it was really obvious.
Wow.
It was really obvious. And the host called them out on that like, you know, it's not that he's not a good poet, because the piece was as good, if not better, than the first piece. Mm-hmm. But there's some issues that we need to talk about. And
it's what they brought to the table as an audience.
Yeah.
Right. But I know that host was thankful and grateful, and I hope to be doing a lot more of that. You know,
where can people find out about you on the net?
My website, which is kind of the holding place for all my work, is reddirt.biz. So people in Texas and Arkansas and Louisiana usually know a little bit about red dirt, or red clay as they call it. But yeah, reddirt with two D's in the middle, .biz. All my books and my albums and all my projects, mm-hmm, are available.
It's an incredible site.
Yeah, thank you. It's a lot of information.
Yes, it is.
I sometimes go like, goodness, I got to find somewhere else.
I read that
stuff,
and I thought, oh my God, I'm having this guy.
Like, where do you start? You
know, yeah.
I have a whole page of questions.
right. No, but there's definitely a lot of stuff, and hopefully it will continue to grow. And like I said, I mean, you know, you guys have been here doing it in the face of a lot of adversity and sometimes not a whole lot of support. But I'm really, maybe I'm the young optimist who's coming in here and really am hopeful. You know, hey, you know, love brought me here and I got heartbroken, so damn it, I'm going to make it worth something.
This show started in September of 1987.
Wow.
And wow, the focus was Harvey Milk and Come Out of the Closet.
Wow.
And we did that for years, and until just a few years ago, I looked around and said, well, they did.
They did.
What do you know?
Right.
Exactly. Now where do we go?
Right. Yeah. It's definitely some other interesting places to go. Yeah. So.
You want to take us to our closing song?
Yeah.
Tell us about Soulmate. Soulmate.
Goodness. I mean, I talked about Full Moon and I talked about Moving Here for Love. So Soulmate is kind of like the idealism of someone who really does believe in that sort of pure. It's, you know, it's probably the song that I got in my car and left Atlanta and I played all the way driving to Houston with all my things in the back, because I, you know, I'd fallen in love, and you know, I have no regrets about that for whatever's happened to the relationship. And this song is really a tribute to that. And I think the really beautiful thing about this song, one, it's a house music song, so it's dance, and two, it's, there's more singing in the song than anything else. There's some spoken word, but I most of the song is singing. And so I'm really proud that as a hip hop artist, I can sort of step out of that masculinity terrain and actually be vulnerable in the song and talk about like how great it feels to be in love. On my MySpace page, the icon of this song is two bears in wedding outfits holding hands.
So
it's interesting. So when people don't quite get that I'm gay immediately, they kind of see that and go, there's two bears in suits.
This guy likes bears.
And I am in the Bears. Woof for all you hot bears out there.
That's a pretty active group here in Houston.
It is. That's one of the reasons why I like being
Houston
here.
Houston area bears, yeah.
And now I'm single, so hey. Hey, bears. Also. So, yeah, so it is a great scene here. And actually, I think the Bears, they're probably one of the more diverse scenes ethnically mm-hmm. speaking, you know, in terms of people that I've met on, you know, a lot of different races and different groups kind of coming together under this this sort of thing, which is interesting, which is size. And
yes, it's creating a new sense of beauty in men.
You definitely know,
it's not 19 skinny and hairless,
right? Exactly. Know. Exactly.
The Bellamy boys.
Yeah. So this is Soulmate. This is my sort of vulnerable, whiny, I want to be in love song, and it'll happen again. It'll happen again.
Yes, it will.
Jimmy and I want to thank you for one of the most engrossing interviews I've had in a while.
Thank you. And I certainly look forward to sort of sharing this with other people as well.
And this is, again, you're listening to Tim and West, the song Soulmate.
Disguise the lie that questions why. Good things must come to those who wait. know God makes no mistakes, so I anticipate making dreams to make dreams come true. As surely as I anticipate you, synchronizing your joy with my own until we own our own very special song. One we dance and make love to when nights go blue and I most need you as much as you need me. So let it be this perfectly imperfect pain so sweet, because heaven awaits a love this great.
We're back, and we're back with a whole new set of folks. Got Colt 45's here.
I forgot how to adjust this.
Yeah. Oh. Yes. We have volume on the headphones.
Yeah.
Better?
Better, yeah.
Okay.
They can hear you. Don't worry about it.
We have Falcon, and
We
have the president of the Colt 45s,
man.
Mr. Stephen Bunch.
Better than that, we have three of the four board members, which means, boys and girls, you're doing pretty darn good. Doesn't mean, you know, anything will get passed, because to my left,
yes,
your right, if you're watching on television, I have Philip Lyles.
Ah.
Oh, is that what I did?
That's what you did.
Yeah. Well, you know,
I'm gonna recount.
As a cult, you're always Philip.
This is true. This is true.
Or Phil if it's late in the evening.
Okay. So the cults have a big deal going on later on today. No, yeah.
Today, yeah.
Today, yes.
Yes, we do, Jimmy. And by the way, thank you for allowing the Colt 45s to come on tonight. We did a little switcheroo and we threw some things around.
Yes.
We always enjoy coming to KPFT radio that listens to you 90.1, 89.5 on your FM dial. We have the Colt 45s Christmas show tonight,
yes.
Sunday at the BRB, the Brazos River Bottom, starting at 6 o'clock. We have a little auctionish going on with some fabulous auction items, as well as we have a show that starts when?
7 p.m.
Is that 7:05?
Nope, 7 p.m.
7 p.m. It's not my fault. It's, you know, it has to start at 7 because it's been decreed by the board. Let it be said, let it be known. Oh, wait, that's another group.
Yeah.
And if it's 7:05, we can blame the BJ Summers Entertainer. Okay.
Ooh.
We have a fabulous show starting at 7, and somewhere along the line, we have great groups this year. Every year, we hand out hand out Christmas items, and people go wild with them. Mm-hmm. Be Afraid, Misfits, and, you know, hopefully we'll get one full of brownies.
Ooh.
But, you know, or maybe we'll just get one that's full of Southern Comfort.
I don't know. I don't know.
But this year we handed out stockings.
Food?
Stockings, and we have some food, too.
So I better go there earlier than 7.
Yes. And,
when does this shindig really start?
Okay. Doors open at 6, show starts at 7.
Okay.
I'm calling a do-over, okay?
Oh, no.
Okay, let's talk about this one more time.
Bring Stanley's credit card.
Yes.
But actually, we do have an auction starting at 6 p.m.
And what are we auctioning off?
Phil?
No.
No,
I have to pay them.
Actually, our auction master isn't here today, so he'll be in tomorrow. But we have the auction starting at 6 p.m. The mm-hmm. show starts at 7 p.m. Auction will end at 8 p.m. Show will end whenever we get done.
I decreed that.
You decreed 9 o'clock.
So what am I decorating a stocking for? We're going to auction the stocking.
Ah, so it's stocking.
Yes. Okay. We had the little bitty trees, and I see Chris grabbing his hair left of it because it's been a long night.
Look, you see what happens when you wait till 2:15 to give us
Then you had the wreaths.
No, I'm laughing at Jimmy because he's the one who took the stocking. I'll take care of this.
Okay.
Yes.
And then we have the stocking.
You're still trying to turn it pink, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah,
a little
bit
of bleach water.
There will be pink.
And I'd be remiss without saying, since we have somebody here, and he's very quiet, which is normally unusual, but he's had a long year. But we have our Danny V Award. It's for somebody that does a group or individual that does great good out in the community. The Golden Colt Award, which is somebody does great good or help towards the Colt 45s. And we have the B.J. Summers Memorial Entertainer of the Year. Which our reigning B.J. Summers Memorial Entertainer of the Year is Mr. Bob Skinner,
ta-da!
Which is to our left.
Bob,
and this will be like his first step down. This is his practice step down.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah. Nowhere near like the other one. That
because he's also Emperor of Orisas.
Yes, he is.
Correct.
30 days later, or will he be stepping down?
30 days.
29, we're past midnight.
Oh,
but who's counting?
Oh, I see.
But the Colt 45s are very happy to be here.
I think we're going to have food too, are we?
Oh yes, we are going to have food.
Snacks.
We're going to have snacks. And Terry's famous cookies or whatever.
Ooh.
She's cooking up.
Oh yes, oh, Terry bakes.
Who knows what she puts in those cookies? But you can't stop eating them.
I know.
It's like Lay's potato chips. You can't
so
have
good
just
afterwards.
One.
Or like brownies.
I'm sorry, that order wasn't placed in time.
Oh, ouch.
No, I was talking about those. I was talking about those ones. Anyway, I went to the store and I bought those two cans of corned beef hash. And anyway, that's a long story.
We also have something else coming up pretty soon.
Do you now?
Yeah. It says save the date. It's dinner in black, a formal leather dinner.
Oh.
With special guest Chuck Renslow, founder and executive producer of IML, International Mr. Leather.
Wow.
That will be on Sunday, January 25th, 2009, at 6 p.m. at Biba's Ones a Meal, 812 Westheimer.
Oh, the new one.
Yes, the new one.
That's really nice.
It's nice in there, yeah. I was just in there recently. Very nice. I mean, a lot better than the old location. I guess they were having trouble with the ceiling. So, with the landlord.
Well, I'm
not supposed to gossip. I'm not going to say anything. But anyways, the tickets are $50. For ticket information and sponsorship opportunities, you can contact Mr. Leather Houston, which is, his email is mrlthrhston2008@aol.com. Just drop the darn vowels, I guess. That is Renee Cantu.
Or you can go by the third weekend of every month and go see him over at the Ripcord with the Misfits.
There you go. We just saw him tonight. Now, what is happening is $50 for the meal, and it's benefiting the Colt 45's Ace Trouble Fund.
Oh, okay. So this is a fundraiser. Cool.
It definitely is, yes.
Cool.
I believe he's going... I may be wrong here, but I believe he's going for Mr. Dallas
mm-hmm.
Eagle.
Texas.
Or
Texas
Leather. Yeah.
Wow.
So he's going to try to go on to Mr. IML.
Okay.
And hopefully, I mean, I think he should win, of course, both of them. So I personally have seen him out at the Ripcord today in his little skimpy little red outfit. And
I hope he goes all the way.
Yeah. Okay. Well, he was going all the way tonight. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And
you have that on good authority?
I was there, yeah. It was cold.
Was it firsthand?
It was, because they used my hands for warmth. They said, if your hands are warm, I'm going, I'm happy. I'm not complaining.
I see.
So, do we have anything else coming up? We have our, what else do we got? We're on the radio normally the first weekend of...
Yes, so you'll be here and then just a couple of
2 weeks, yeah.
Again.
Well, I know that the BRB has their fabulous New Year's Eve celebration, and I would be remiss if I didn't say mark your calendars for March 13th where the Mr. BRB contest comes back.
Wow.
Back, as well as the Ms. BRB contest that night. That's a Friday, for those of you scoring at home, or even if you're alone. And that Sunday after that is the Miss BR, the boys in dresses
yeah.
part. That Sunday, the Miss BRB contest.
Yeah.
So and bringing that back.
Wow.
The Colt 45s, we have our general membership meeting on the third Monday of every month.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Starts 8 at 8 p.m. Thank you.
And that's not good for me.
That's not good for you?
No. Oh, well. We'll reschedule if you get another term. Yeah.
And, of course, Phil, tell us about the AIDS Trouble Fund.
The AIDS Trouble Fund. Thanks. Love having that thrown in my face all at once.
You got to be pop quizzed here.
Thanks. No, basically, AIDS Trouble Fund is part of our charity work that we do that helps people with AIDS as far as paying utilities, rent, anything, when they pretty much have nowhere else to turn. All they have to do is fill out an application. We check it out. Everything's good. Then we're more than willing to help.
And this is where Stephen has the best memory. Stephen, what's the email address?
Our email address is www.colt45s.org, colt45s.org.
Mm-hmm. And the phone number?
Phone number is 713-526-6077. Or you can...
Can you say that again a little bit slower?
713-526-6077.
Mm-hmm.
I'll see you around the tunnel. But 713-526-6077. You can call on our hotline and ask for an application, or you can go online to www.colt45s.org and you can download our application. And most of the times, if you have a case management worker or if you're going in one of the providers, they can actually help you to get that form. Most of them have it. Thomas Street, Legacy, Bering,
good.
AFH, they all have those good. Forms. So if you just ask, they have those as well.
Okay. Great. Well, thank you.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
I'm going to sit over here and dance.
Thanks, Chris.
Well, Phil,
especially for the Browns.
Phil's staying.
Yes.
Phil's
staying.
I'm going to stay for
Phil
a little.
He's staying. Special.
Yeah, we're going to talk. We're going to talk about, yes, bionic.
Da-da-da. He only moves in slow motion now. The bionic bitch. He moves in very slow motion now.
Well, thank you very much. Then I guess we'll be
out of here.
And I'm not going to ruin it for everybody else, but stay off the table.
I will, I promise. Phil Lyles is here, and in his alter ego of Lillian Devereaux, you recently had a slight mishap.
Just a slight one.
Over at Tony's.
Yes.
Tony's Corner Pocket, 817 West Dallas.
Yes, I am.
And so what happened? Because I've heard a lot of stuff.
And that's what you got to love about...
Oh, that
slight
bitch,
accident.
She just did this and she did that. Oh,
of course. No,
there's
basically...
blood everywhere. It was horrible.
No. Well, there was blood everywhere, unfortunately, but it was basically on me. Basically, being the crazy person that I am, I was on the bar, the actual bar,
mm-hmm.
doing a number, and...
Well, I've seen the strippers do that.
Well, the strippers have done it.
Yeah.
I do it. On occasion, or did, I should say. Yeah, the husband sitting next to me, he's like, you did, not anymore.
Now, Montana gets up on the bar, and, you know, she's a tall drink of water,
yes.
so she's
yes.
got to kind of bend in half to do it.
Okay. But, yeah, so the bar had gotten wet, and I stepped into the water mm-hmm. and found myself face forward in the floor.
Ooh. And that's a concrete floor,
yeah,
isn't
concrete
it?
Floor. Yeah,
so what happened?
It was not pretty. Basically, I went to the emergency room later on, thinking it was the last number, you know, so I made a little money before it all happened. You know, got to make some coins. But,
Mama's got to make those coins.
Got to make those coins. Went to the emergency room, and I basically fractured my frontal right lobe. Into lots of pieces, which basically means from my eyebrow up on the right side of my head, shattered.
Ooh.
So,
concrete will do that.
Yes, concrete will do that. And fractured my elbow, my right elbow. But thanks to some fabulous doctors at Bentop, that's all been taken care of. I had surgery, and they put her back together. So
well, I have to say,
seeing you, I mean, hearing everything that I've heard about, you know how the gossip goes.
Well, yeah.
You know, yes. My God.
Oh, yes. I apparently was
wrapped up like a mummy in traction for the next 6 months.
Well, I'd been told that apparently I was paralyzed on the entire right side of my face. Didn't understand that.
No, that didn't happen.
And also, there was supposedly major brain damage, but of course, the doctors assured me that you had to have one first, so that's why we don't have to worry about that. But I'm back.
You sound just like you always have.
Like I always have. Well, actually, I'm being a little tamer tonight. I get to say a lot more things at Tony's mic than I do here.
Oh, yeah.
But no, actually, my return will be this Thursday. Christmas night.
I can't believe you're well enough to go back to work already.
I'm ready to go back to work.
Christmas Eve.
No, Christmas night.
No, Christmas night. Okay.
Christmas night. Okay. I will be there terrorizing the dancers and everybody in the audience like I always have.
Like you always have. So. Well, you know, when I saw you a couple of weeks ago.
Just a few.
I thought, I've never seen him look better. I bet they took in an extra couple of stitches there.
They told me they took a little snip here and there. No, actually, during the accident, because several people asked me, well, did you ask them for a little facelift while you were there? No, the doctor informed me that I apparently did crush my right sinus cavity, so they had to have tissue to do that. So, yeah, he told me they pulled back a little tighter because they had to do a little tissue removal up at the top of my head. So,
okay.
Yeah. He goes, so you'll notice those wrinkles on your forehead aren't as prominent as they used to be. Yeah, and I'm like, thanks, Doc. I thought it was good genes. You know, I thought I recovered well. What's up with that? But, yeah, so it was a very serious accident, but I'm back. And thanks to a lot of angels who were looking over me apparently that night.
I can't believe how fast you recovered because you shattered.
Oh yes, it was completely shattered.
Your skull. And
not to get too graphic, but the doctors even.
What
even,
they do? Epoxy it like a jigsaw puzzle or what?
No, actually, they said they basically went in and with tweezers and picked out splintered bone, and then put 10 titanium plates and 46 screws in my head.
No kidding.
And that's what it took.
You are the Tin Man.
I am. I'm the Bionic Bitch.
Bionic Bitch. All right. We have a new term.
Exactly.
I love that.
Yeah. But
things
are going well. I mean, you know, a lot of my friends have said, it's just so good to see you. And my favorite term now is, it's good to be seen. Because they honestly told me that it could have been, they were really surprised that I survived.
Wow.
So
a lot of angels. Doing vulgar dances on bars anymore.
No more dancing on bars. That was the first agreement I had to make to everyone who knows me, is that I would not be on the bar. And actually, sorry to tell you this, it was also part of the agreement was to Tony that the boys are no longer going to be on the bar.
Oh.
But we want it to be safe for everybody. Have a good time, but be safe.
That was just such a nice view to look up their jock straps.
I know, but unfortunately, no.
Oh, damn.
But you know the stage itself is kind of high,
if you sit
at the stage, there's the drink roll there. You can still look up. It's a good thing.
You got to get there early for one of those seats.
Oh, yeah.
You know those dirty old men standing.
What are you talking about? The dirty woman running the show. That's what it's all about. No. So
yeah. I'm just amazed that you're back and this soon.
Well, I think it's still the body's not quite. I mean, I usually do 8 numbers a night, so I don't think the body's going to be quite there after almost 2 months off, but I'm going to come back with the vengeance.
How's Tony been treating you?
Oh, Tony's fabulous. Tony's wonderful. He's been taking really good care of me, and actually, kind of glad that I stayed over so we could talk about this, because there's actually something, and probably somebody that you know real well, Peggy.
Yes!
Peggy had a terrible incident that happened to her. She, her entire apartment burned, and she lost everything. So
that is awful.
The Wednesday night before the Bionic Bitch comes back, we're doing a benefit for her at Tony's
at
8 p.m. Christmas Eve, we'll be doing a benefit for Peggy, because you know, and that's the amazing thing about working at Tony's Corner Pocket is he's always been, let's take care of the community, and he's been absolutely wonderful.
Well,
and I do bitch about my job.
Spins music, you know, for
every benefit.
Yes, and we'll do it on the spur of the moment your DJ doesn't show up.
You've got that right.
Has saved lots of saved groups' many, asses.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. So, yeah, so we love Peggy, and so now it's time. And actually, the name of the show, which I came up with the name of the show, is Little Peggy, Yes, There Is a Santa Claus.
Ah.
So, but yeah, so we're gonna try and get her back on her feet, get her clothes, whatever she needs to make sure that she's taken care of. And that, like I said, that's just one of the things that's amazing about
So all you bitches out there, you know, okay, it's Christmas Eve, and maybe you have plans, but you can drop over and drop off a check over at Tony's.
If not a check, I mean, people have asked me, well, does she need clothes? I'm like, she needs everything. Yeah. So, I mean, small appliances, whatever you need. I had somebody ask me, like, well, can she use a clock radio? I'm like, well, don't you need one to get up in the morning?
There you go.
And she was like, well, I actually happen to have an extra one at home. And I was like, well, bring it over.
Bring it over.
We'll take it.
Yeah.
It's all about helping the community. I mean, they were there for me a week after my accident. They had a benefit for me at Tony's and raised a lot of money. And people were there for me. And
you were there, and I didn't even know it.
Yes, I was there. I was
just flabbergasted.
Yeah. Well, there was still some swelling, but I told this one sitting to my right, as long as I looked human, I was going to be there.
They just had you off in the corner.
Oh, yeah. They took me in the corner. Well, actually, J.P. Gill told me, he said, I have two big black men to protect you so nobody can hurt you while you're there. I'm like, okay. And so they put me in a corner. I didn't have my bodyguards like I was supposed to have. But, yeah, they kept me in a corner so I could be protected because the arm was still sore and everything. But to protect me. But, yeah, so that's the great, like I said, everybody bitches about their job. But that's the amazing thing about Tony's Corner Pocket is they look out for the community.
So your show that you're going to do Christmas night, are you going to be in heels or flats?
Oh, no, I'll be in heels.
Okay.
What proper drag queen would wear flats?
Well, you know.
I'm not Aunt B, honey. They'll still be 3 inches and small. At least 3 inches. But, yeah, so, no, we'll be in heels.
That's great.
We'll be ready.
That's great.
The feet will probably be cussing me later. But.
Two nights you got to get over to Tony's for Peggy's fundraiser.
Correct.
And
then the following night, the bionic bitch returns.
The bionic bitch returns. See her with the dancing boys.
You got that right, honey.
And those boys are pretty hot over there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Tony handpicks them.
I mean,
Oh, yeah. He takes care of the dancers.
So they're already damaged goods. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm just saying he handpicks them. He decides if they are up to his standards. That's how he decides.
Yeah, well, he's got pretty high standards. So,
Look who he hired for a show director. He's got to have high standards. Where did that come from? Oh, that's right. We were over at Tony's earlier. Mm-hmm. It's the alcohol talking. Thank goodness. But no.
I love it.
No.
Lillian, Phil, thank you for being here.
Thank you very much for asking me.
You bet.
And I'm going to do this.
Thanks for waiting
sometime.
For so long.
Oh, not a problem. I didn't realize I could come on this late. I may pop over one night after a show or something.
Oh, hell yeah.
Just terrorize you.
We're here till 4.
Oh, well, see? A girl learns something new every day.
Yeah.
And now I know. And I'll bring you more brownies too when
I
come back.
Thank you, honey. Thank you. Chris?
Can you just share one or two with Chris?
Chris?
What?
Are we ready with some music?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Meli
Klikki Makka is the thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day. That's the island greeting that we send to you from the land where palm trees sway. Here we know that Christmas will be green and bright. The sun will shine by day and all the stars at night. Meli Kaliki Maka is a wise way to say Merry Christmas to you.
Meli Meli Kaliki Maka.
Show it a cold wind.
did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Oh, Mary, did you know?
does the best that he can, but don't forget all the horses and toys never could fix the poor little rich
a guy named Melvin. He pretends that I am Murphy Brown.
He'll say, are you ready? We'll say, whoa, man, let's wait until the wife is out of town. Later on, if you wanna, we can dress like Madonna, put on some eye shade and join the parade.
Campfire and thank God for all our blessings. Well, you kaya get along, little doggy, it's Christmas time in Texas. It's Christmas time in Texas, all the jingle bells are jingling. We just can't wait to see what Santa Claus is gonna bring us. When you cross that old red river, Santa, leave your sleigh at home. You better get yourself a pickup truck.
nor neither.
There we go.
Oh, that helps.
Yes.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Wes is with us, and Chris had to step out.
Yep.
So Wes has been selecting a lot of the music that you've heard.
Yep.
Because
well, you selected a few beforehand.
But yeah.
I filled in a little bit there.
What did we hear?
Well, let's see. Looks like Bette Midler. What? I can't read your handwriting, Jimmy.
I'm sorry.
Well, Bette Midler in there.
And what did she?
Let me see. Yeah, come tell me what she wrote.
Okay. Bette Midler, Mele Kalikimala. Which is Merry Christmas in Hawaiian.
Easy for you, sir.
Yes, sorry. Bare Naked with the Christmas Blues.
Then we had Clay Aiken,
Mary, Did You,
Mary, did you know?
Honey, yeah. We knew a long time ago.
Oh, jeez. The Nylons doing Drummer Boy.
Yeah, yeah.
Then Manhattan Transfer with Caroling, Caroling. One of my favorites.
Yeah, I like that.
Then we had the Go-Go Boys doing The Bottom Line.
I loved that. Mm-hmm. That, you know, I was listening out there.
That wasn't what I had chosen originally, but I figured, oh, what the hell, I'll leave it going for Chris.
It was great. It was great, and I'm sure Chris heard it, too.
Yep. Then we had Elton John's Christmas Gathering there doing with Spotlight on Christmas by Rufus Wainwright.
Mm-hmm.
Then Bob Rivers doing Women's Underwear.
Perennial favorite. We have to play at least once a year.
I know. I had to just throw that one in there. I saw it and I was like, you know, just got to do it. I had an evil grin on my face.
I like Chipmunks Roasting an Open Fire. So.
Then we had Vince Vance doing Christmas Time in Texas.
Uh-huh.
Followed by a good old choral classic, Atlanta Chorus, God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
Janet Villas with Oh Holy Night.
And that, she has a beautiful voice, doesn't she?
I was impressed.
Yeah.
And then right before we came back in, we had A New Light doing Silent Night.
Yes, that's electronic music.
That was really pretty,
isn't
actually.
That pretty?
Really pretty.
It's been really hectic here in the studio. We've had some technical problems here. So I haven't been able to take any phone calls, and I know that Scooter called in. He listens to the show quite a bit. And what I wanted to say is, Scooter, I shaved, so I hope you call back.
I don't even want to know. I'll just leave that one way alone.
Yeah, please do. Please do.
I think Merlin over there's. I see Merlin grinning over there.
Yeah, nobody knows what that's about, and because that's just between Scooter and me. I lost my train of thought.
Surprise!
We're gonna do a couple of things here. We usually do announcements and things at the very beginning of the show, but we had a special guest who had been on a plane for 24 hours and had just flown in today and came right to the studio, so we needed to get him on right away. Tim T. West. That was an amazing interview with J.D. Doyle. And so a couple of things. I got an email today, and it's from another longtime listener, Scott Tillinghast, and it's his annual. See, Scott, once a year, at the end of the year, he sends a donation into KPFT.
Oh, cool.
And makes a big deal of making sure management knows why he is sending the money in, and he's sending it in for specific shows.
Excellent.
And his favorite shows are After Hours.
Speaking of Chris.
Wow, there's Chris now. After Hours, Queer Voices, Ray Hill's Prison Show, Dean Becker's programs, Dead Air, and Hot and Bothered Radio.
Uh-oh.
Well, if you like After Hours, you've got to love Hot and Bothered. You know, let's face it. So he sends this in and makes sure that everybody knows, and I think that's important. you know, to let people know what's going on. And again, we want to remind you of the Cult 45's Christmas Show and Community Awards later on today. That's snacks and silent auction at 6 p.m., show at 7, benefiting the Cult 45's charities. You're going to have a great show and present the annual Cult 45's Community Awards, the Danny Villa Award, the Golden Cult Award, and the B.J. Summers Memorial Entertainer of the Year. And this year we have fabulous big stockings decorated by clubs and friends throughout the community, all up for auction. Chris is standing behind me, and I don't know why.
He's got a...
I didn't hear the song you said I should have heard, but I was gone for 20 minutes, and I heard choral music.
Just one piece of choral music,
just
thank
one
you.
Piece. One piece.
But I did get a good one in there for you.
I didn't hear it. I tuned in about...
I played Go-Go Boys for you.
Halfway through Women's Underwear.
Yeah, see. He played Go-Go Boys.
Yeah, I had the bottom line.
Yeah, I heard it was dedicated to me afterwards or something along
that. Yeah,
absolutely.
It wasn't an intentional selection, but after it started playing, I was like, oh, the hell with it. I'll leave it for Chris.
Yeah, perfect.
I'll leave it for Chris, because this is something Chris would play.
I guess I'm going to go to the archive.
Yeah.
Yep, you'll have to.
And then as Phil Lyles, a.k.a. Lillian Devereaux, just told you a little while ago, there's going to be a fundraiser for Peggy, who actually is a man, but his apartment caught fire and he lost everything in his fire. So they're having a fundraiser Christmas Eve at Tony's Corner Pocket. He's part of the Houston Community Family, so they're putting together a benefit for him at 8 p.m. Tony's Corner Pocket, 817 West Dallas. So if you're in town and want to donate, it would be greatly appreciated. Either money or stuff. I mean, when you lose everything, you need everything.
Yeah.
You know, you got an extra clock radio? Yep, we could use it. You got an extra toaster? You got an extra toaster oven? If you're really, you know, a fabulous queer, you may have more than one toaster oven.
Great time to re-gift. You know?
Yeah, perfect, perfect.
Okay, I'm trying to hear Merlin, and I don't... For some reason, his mic's not on.
Oh.
And the studio's turned on. Try another mic, Merlin.
Yes, please.
Nope, still not working.
Not working.
What the heck?
I don't know.
We'll figure it out.
Levels over here.
I don't know.
Maybe that's it.
Try
it now.
Hello.
There we go.
Yes, we can hear you now.
Yes.
Hey,
there you go. There you go.
Hi, Merlin.
Somebody turned down the side mic.
Okay. A couple of weeks ago, Marcia Mink Ann Gill was on. She's running for... she's the candidate for Empress 25 of Ereses, the Empire of the Royal Sovereign and Imperial Court of the Single Star.
That's a mouthful.
I know. Inc. And she's got some stuff going on the 21st, which will be today? Yes, today. The Winter Mink Fest is going on.
Yay.
And then something else she's doing, because she's Jewish. She's doing eight crazy whiny diny nights, and that starts Monday, December the 22nd, and it goes through Monday, December 29th, and she's got an event going on each night. On Monday at 6 p.m. at EJ's, drinks with Brad, and $5 traditional basket and brisket and latke dinner. Tuesday, the 23rd at 7 p.m. at Sophia, which is at the corner of West Main and Mandel at 1601 West Main. A wine tasting restaurant is open for dinner and is BYOB. Wednesday the 24th, 7 p.m. at Crocker Bar at 2312 Crocker. Grego, Mr. Prime Choice 2007, hosts a Gentile dinner.
Gentile or
Gentile.
As in non-Jewish.
Yes.
Ham and cheese sandwiches.
Yeah, there you go. Then Christmas Day, Thursday, then the 25th at 9 p.m. at Tony's Corner Pocket, celebrating the return of Lillian Devereaux. Amateur strip show at 11 p.m. Mixing by DJ Ross. And they're going to have drink specials.
Strip show, huh?
Yeah.
Count me in.
I know it. Friday, the 26th, 8 p.m. is showtime. George Sports Bar, 617 Fairview. USO Holiday Extravaganza Benefit Show. Saturday, next Saturday, the 27th, 7 p.m. at Meteor at 2306 Genesee. It's a high hair and hat auction preview party.
How high is the hair?
For drag queens, that's going to be pretty high. Oh, yeah. So high you have to bend your head to get through the doorway.
The question is it the hair or... Never mind.
Ooh. Next Sunday, the 28th,
I didn't go there.
5 p.m. at the BRB, My Kind of Christmas, Chinese food potluck social dinner.
Chinese food for Christmas?
Don't you love it?
Okay. I'll go with it.
Then the following Monday, the 29th, 6 p.m. at Anita's Bar and Grill at 2409 Grant. Drink specials, floor show, and fabulous food. So, 8 winey dining nights with Marcia Mink.
Wow.
Isn't that great?
That's a heck of a lineup.
That really is. And you've got something over there that's very important for the community.
Oh, yes. Nominate your favorite community star. Dalton DeHart, Kelly McCann, Julie Eberly, and AIDS Foundation Houston have one thing in common. They relied on someone like you to nominate them for the 2008 Grand Marshal. Grand Marshal positions are among the highest honor bestowed by Houston's GLBT community. Nominees are selected based on their commitment and contributions to the community. To nominate an individual or organization, complete and submit the Grand Marshal nomination form by January 9th. Categories include Male Grand Marshal, Female Grand Marshal, Honorary Grand Marshal, and Grand Marshal Organization. Nominations will be reviewed by a committee of former Grand Marshals, and candidates will be announced January 16th. Contact the Parade Committee for nomination forms at parade@pridehouston.org.
Is that all he handed you?
Yeah, that's all he handed me.
He might answer the phone and then spill soda.
Oh, real good. What else did you...
I'm spilling...
Will you quit playing with that gingerbread man?
He's only the second one I've molested.
First one I've seen you molest tonight.
Yeah. Don't worry, you'll get the pictures.
Should I be worried?
Be afraid. Be very.
As always,
afraid.
You can find out what happens at cl.net. And remember to post our pictures in the right spot.
Well, I've found pictures all over the place from him.
This next. Goodbye.
Just read the next one.
Black Tie and Big Heart Charity Ball on December 31st. Is that next?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. At Hotel Zaza. 5701 Main Street in the Museum District.
Yeah, that's the old Warwick Hotel. Why are you tonguing a gingerbread man's crotch?
Because I can.
You haven't been watching him do this all night? I mean, he walked back in the studio with it doing that. And while you were in the middle of an announcement, I was trying not to laugh. It didn't work.
As I said, if you go to cl.net once he posts the pics, it'll be...
Yeah.
I did it while you were interviewing Timmy Timmim.
Your kid.
No, I was careful. Knowing you couldn't handle it, so I...
yeah. He probably did it while you weren't looking.
I'm just waiting for Scooter to call back.
Why?
Well, Jimmy.
Well, I don't know. There's a light doing something. I don't think it hung up properly.
Probably not.
Where
it's
was I?
Houston tonight.
Houston Zaza. Friday, October... ticket sale party has already happened. Beneficiaries, the Sisters, Bearing Omega, Community Services, Bayou City Performing Arts, Center for AIDS, Houston Buyers Club, Lazarus House, and a bunch of others. For more information, go to HoustonBlackTie.org. We still going along here?
I don't know. What is
What a surprise. A Disney font. the Imperial Court of Houston.
Oh, Lord.
He's got a Mickey Mouse and a glitter fetish. What do you expect?
I know. That's Christopher Prado all the way. You just see that and you know.
I'm surprised
it's fabulous.
Even though it came out of your printer, I'm surprised there's not glitter on it.
what's that on the disc?
Oh, it's from the Gingerbread Man.
Hold on. Okay.
Got sugar all over the place. Reflections of 2008 and the beginning of 2009, New Year's Eve 2009. On Wednesday, December 31st, 2008, at EJ's, 2517 Ralph, showtime at 8.
Okay.
Uh-oh, we got to clean up our act. Mary's here. Yep. The other Mary.
Yeah.
PWA beneficiary for Rain 7 is the PWA Holiday Charities.
So that's a New Year's Eve show?
New Year's Eve at EJ's. Mm. And when you're at EJ's, you always got to wonder which balls are going to be dropping at midnight. Yeah. who knows anything about that?
Oops, did it say that loud? What was that? I don't know. Hey, show? Back off the mic.
No way. They're going to be performing a skit, possibly. Singing, I guess we have the second part we can do here. Yeah. Singing for My Supper, a dual benefit. On Friday, January 9th, 2009, at George, there'll be a show benefiting the Louis Food Committee. And there'll also be a canned food drive benefiting Resurrection MCC's food pantry.
So bring your dollars and your canned goods.
There's a challenge out there.
Yes, I love this.
The challenge is that we get that enough canned goods are raised to equal or exceed the weight of the host of the show.
Which will be?
Me.
Uh-oh.
Ooh.
And we're getting static here.
Now, trust me, the show is all static.
No, real bad static.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
Something on the headphones. Or I'll be down.
I have no idea.
Yeah. Hello? Yeah, okay. We'll use that.
Yeah.
If you don't bring canned goods, we'll be taking money. And we have static out in the air?
Yeah.
We're down?
No.
Oh. I've lost that.
Hold on.
Well, kill all the mics with mine for right now. We still got static. Okay. Like I said, if you don't bring canned goods, we'll be taking dollars, and no matter what the conversion rate is, dollars will be converted to pounds. Yeah, before we try to figure out our technical difficulties, let's go to some music. Let's see what's happening.
This Christmas, PBS presents a Christmas special the whole family can enjoy. In the fine Cousteau tradition, Christmas on the Calypso. The under-the-tree world of Jacques Cousteau.
It is a very special morning. Last night, the crew tossed and turned in their bunks in eager anticipation of what awaits us this day. Suddenly, our quiet slumber is interrupted by a huge noise on the deck of the Calypso. We investigate and find the unmistakable footprints of 8 tiny hoofed creatures. How did these 8 strange mammals make the incredible journey across the seas to our secluded location? We can only speculate. My first mate, Jean-Claude, beckons to the rest of the crew.
Everyone, come here quickly, look at this!
The deck of the Calypso is strewn with many packages, all wrapped in brightly colored papers and ribbons, reminiscent of the beautiful Garcia fish indigenous to the psychedelic waters in the Bay of San Francisco. I am reminded of my dangerous encounter with the prickly-backed suckerfish, whose poisonous stinger can twist a man's mind like a candy cane. We are overwhelmed by the generosity of the mysterious visitor who has brought a warm feeling and special moment to 12 very cold and lonely men.
Oh, merci, Santa Claus, merci.
The members of the crew dive under the tree without the benefit of wetsuit or oxygen supply. I am concerned that the sub-freezing temperatures and bitter Arctic winds may freeze the balls of our tree. But all is well. And Jean-Claude is pleased to discover the large rectangular box containing the brightly colored floppy-eared bunny slippers are indeed for him. They are just his size and fit his large hairy feet as snugly as the pearl in the shell of the mature oyster.
Oh, Santa Claus, you're the man of peace.
To my dismay, I discover I have once again been overlooked.
Oh, Capitan, oh, what a shame.
I am aghast, but at least the coal will be useful in the cold winter months to come.
The Under the Tree World of Jacques Cousteau, this Christmas on PBS.
As Philippe throws another Yule fish on the fire, the smell is overwhelming.
Yo, who cut the camembert?
All right, we're back. We figured out our problem. Chris and his magnetic personality over there.
Yeah.
Oh!
I'm gonna keep eating my gingerbread man.
Have you got him down to the head yet?
Not yet.
He's getting there.
It's getting close.
So, what do we got? We're going to do some round table tonight?
For a few minutes? That's what Jimmy just said, that it was round table.
Okay, well, what do you got there?
All right.
Bring down. Merlin's mic's not on.
Oh.
Here, I'll be extra crazy. You take that mic.
There you go.
I'll go
somewhere
sit next
out
to Merlin.
There.
There's Merlin again.
There's the burying. Oh, never mind.
You need help, Chris.
Come on, Chris.
There's a grave somewhere with the guy who invented the gingerbread man.
And he's turning over in it.
And that skeleton is spinning like a top.
I thought we were going to talk about the hooky, but never mind. I'll tell that joke later.
Oh,
takes too long to tell. Well, all right, in case...
We've only got 20 minutes.
Yep.
The controversy surrounding President-elect Obama's choice of Rick Warren to lead the invocation at the inauguration has raised a lot of concern in the gay community. He claims he isn't homophobic, but, well, that's left. We'll leave that open for debate later. Pastor Rick Warren of the Saddleback Church in Lake Forest, California, has been chosen to give the invocation at Obama's inauguration. Congressional Committee
on
inaugural ceremonies announced today. This was dated the 17th here. Warren, who hosted a forum in which Obama and McCain participated during the campaign, was a vocal supporter of Prop 8. So, there's a lot of concern raised over this controversy, whatever.
You know, this is different, Chris. You're on the wrong side of the glass.
I know, and I'm loving it.
For once, you're on the wrong side of the glass.
Yeah. I usually have to come down here during Queer Voices for this.
All right.
I was channeling an empress.
Uh-oh.
Okay, Chris.
Okay.
So, yes.
That's probably Jimmy sitting over there next to you.
That'll be next, I'm sure. So, yes, Obama has chosen Rick Warren to lead the invocation, and it's
ticking off a bunch.
It's ticking off a lot of homos.
And I suppose on some level they have a right to be ticked. But, you know, unfortunately, this is the... Unfortunately, and very fortunately, this is supposed to be a country of freedom of speech, and even a horse's patootie.
Oh yeah,
like,
well, some people are taking that freedom of speech a little bit too far sometimes.
Absolutely.
And you well, know, at least it wasn't the pastor of the God Hates Fags church, you know.
Yeah,
it could always be worse.
Yeah, but that's only because that one's about a banana peel away from a grave.
With Rick Warren, I mean, there has been a lot of talk over the airwaves of this choice, because not just his anti-gay stance, you know, and I love his excuse, you know, I've had dinner at gay people's houses.
Oh, yeah, I heard that.
No one has done more for the HIV/AIDS community than Saddleback Church.
I love the name of his church.
Yeah, I believe that's where, if you
check the sequel to Brokeback Mountain. That's where they would have had the wedding. but, you know, you get these comments like that. Rachel Maddow played an excerpt from a interview that he did somewhere where basically he said was basically starting the slippery slope defense about gay marriage, going, you know, if we start allowing, you know, homosexuals to marry, then you'll allow brothers and sisters to marry.
Here we go.
And then you'll have old men marrying young girls.
Just for the record,
you mean they're not already?
There's an awful lot of brothers and sisters having married in a lot of cultures, but that's a side issue.
you know, there's a fight in Germany right now for a brother and sister who have three or four children together that they want to get married. And as far as older men marrying teenage girls that Reverend Warren is afraid of, if you open up that book that you like to hit us over the head with, there is someone who was born that had a very young mother and a very old husband. There was like a 20-year difference, if I remember correctly.
Give or take.
I think the older man's name was Joseph, and the young girl that he married in this arranged marriage was Mary.
Mary.
Yeah,
yes.
Mary. Yeah,
somebody named Mary.
Yeah. I don't know if you've ever heard of that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But then again,
another prominent story in the book.
Yeah, it's mentioned once or twice.
Once or twice.
Go figure on that one.
Yeah, I think you'll hear about it at some churches here coming up. There's something around this time of year they talk a lot about the teenage girl that got knocked up by someone else.
Yeah, but they don't mention the age.
And oddly enough, at the event I was at today, that wasn't mentioned once as part of this day, this particular week.
Actually, I saw an interesting thing on TV today. They were talking about Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And where you will find more religious stories about Mary, the mother of Jesus, is the Quran.
Mm. Go figure that one.
In the Quran?
In the Quran.
In the Quran.
Huh.
There's a lot of stories about Mary and quite a few stories about Jesus in the Quran. See, they actually do believe in Jesus. They just don't believe it to the degree that Christians do. They consider him a great prophet.
Yeah.
You know, but he's not the end-all prophet. You know. He was a really good guy, but he's not the end-all be-all.
Oh, heaven forbid.
And in the same turn, some people are pushing for Obama to appoint the chief operating officer of the Intrepid Museum, William White, for Secretary of the Navy. So...
probably a few of the village people.
I think Jimmy left that at home.
A gay man in charge of the Department of Navy.
Oh, go figure. And he's being backed by a lot of high-ranking military officials, retired and current.
I bet he is being backed.
Well, you know.
Maybe I need to go back to the Navy.
Well, you know, you could always use a good seaman.
Not until after the war's over. We want you to come back alive.
I'd be on a ship. I wouldn't be on land.
Right. Yeah.
Now, the thing is that because he is a civilian and not a member of the military, this kind of takes the whole don't ask, don't tell policy out of the equation. But there's also,
the Secretary
of course,
the Navy position's always been a civilian position anyway.
Right. And there's, you know, of course, naturally going to be opposition to this.
Don't you think it's odd that a secretary of a military...
military branch is a civilian?
Is a civilian.
Amazing on that one, isn't it?
It's kind of bizarre.
I guess it kind of cuts down on the conflict of interest.
A bit, yeah, because you do have the Joint Chiefs of Staff, though.
But then we've had presidents with no military experience, and they...
President
Commander in Chief of our militaries.
President Clinton.
Reagan.
And now on the flip side of the coin here, a little article popped up this week about Ted Haggard.
Oh,
will you stop playing with that thing?
Okay, put the gingerbread man down and nobody gets hurt.
There's not much left of him, but it looks funny.
Ted Haggard will promote a documentary directed by Alexandra Pelosi that follows the disgraced pastor and his family after he stepped down from the New Life Church following revelations he bought meth and had sex with male escort. With a male escort.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my God. I really do wish these folks would, once they have these issues and they make the national news and their 15 minutes of fame is over,
that they would go away?
Go away.
Andy Warhol called, your 15 minutes are up.
30 minutes ago. Oh, great mother, these people. It's like, get out of our lives, you people.
I know, right?
It's like, go find another male prostitute.
Right?
Have some fun. Get out of our lives.
There's quite a few on Hyde Park.
Now, speaking of people who are trying to redeem themselves here, Congressman Barney Frank announced the replacement of outgoing senior policy advisor Joe Ricalto with Diego Sanchez. Sanchez, a transgender man, is currently the director of public relations and external affairs for AIDS Action Committee of Massachusetts, and this past August was the first transgender person appointed by the DNC to the platform committee, according to the Trans Advocate. They also note he is a member of the Human Rights Campaign's Boston Steering Committee and the ITRC Business Council. So, this from the same man who wouldn't back transgender rights is now appointing someone who is transgender to his staff.
Wow, what three ghosts visited him?
Yeah. That... I'm starting to wonder here. You remember a few months back there was a lot of controversy surrounding his not wanting to support the ENDA because it included transgenders. I don't know what's going on here. I mean,
maybe, I don't know, possibly
a change
no longer
of heart?
Suffering from his cranial rectal inversion.
Well,
that cost $150.
Oh.
And he finally decided that the right man for the job used to be a woman.
Go figure.
Will you quit playing with your food?
Okay.
Next.
All right. I got two good ones here, kiddos. All I want for Christmas is a space shuttle.
What?
The what?
All I want for Christmas is a space shuttle. NASA snapped this. Let's see here. Space agency.
They're selling old used space shuttles that are still in one piece.
The space agency is putting the shuttle fleet up for sale when it's retired in 2010. The advertised price is just a starting figure for any one of the orbiters. And that's a $42 million price tag, by the way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, look for that one in the Neiman Marcus catalog pretty soon here.
Right.
Yeah.
Or at the newest auction house, Blagojevich's.
No! Yeah.
Nicely done.
So, how much was that seat going to be worth?
$43 million.
Wow. So, this is not including the cost to ship this thing back and forth, you know, or having to strip it down.
I don't know.
But can you imagine the fun you're going to have applying decals to that?
Right?
I can just picture it now. Somebody's going to get one and paint a big old rainbow on it.
Right?
There you go.
We're going to fly our fagginess right in the face of God. We're getting a shuttle.
There we go.
It's going to be big and pink. It's already phallic enough.
Right?
And pink, Jimmy's favorite color.
Yes.
My only question is, you know, if we, you know, can shell out the $40,000,
to get up to the heavens, how much is, you know, the jet engine fuel?
Exactly.
Sorry, $32 million. How much is the jet engine fuel?
It's not cheap. Not cheap in the least.
Not cheap at all.
Doesn't even begin to cover it.
Because I'll put it to you this way.
We'll be able to buy one of the shuttles. In another 50 years...
We can buy the fuel.
I say you buy it, you sit on the side of the road, you do like the Pennsylvania do, with old rail cars, you turn it into a diner.
There you go.
We
can
do that.
And we serve freeze-dried ice cream with apple pie.
Pumpkin pie.
I just copyrighted that, so if you want it, pay me.
Call the diner once around the planet.
All right, so... We got a little bit of time left here. I want to wrap it up with more Daniel Radcliffe news.
Oh, good God.
Yay!
Last week at the 28th annual Gypsy of the Year competition for Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS, Daniel Radcliffe performed a new song titled "The Love That Dare Not Speak Its Nay" with the Horsemen of the Equus Company.
Whoa!
And he has quite the trail.
Ooh.
Now, the other interesting
thing.
That's
a happy trail.
The other interesting Daniel Radcliffe.
Yeah, it's making Jimmy happy.
The beginning of the month, he was on Bravo's Inside the Actor Studio, in which part of it he discussed what he called the Michelangelo's David effect. Which is the story of the sculpture of Michelangelo's David is David is going up against Goliath.
Yeah.
Well, because of all of his adrenaline and that is going to other parts of his body, there's shrinkage. So Dan Radcliffe is discussing the fact that when he goes on stage, he's not very well equipped. And so he says, you know, someone asks him, do you ever have an erection while on stage? He says, no, God, I wish I would.
So he's not a shower, he's a grower.
He suffers
from stage fright, apparently.
Yeah, one of the,
at least from the waist down.
Yeah, the turtleneck goes over the head. One of the best descriptions someone gave of it was there's a whole lot of potatoes and not a lot of meat.
Wait. Hang on. I think I might have found it.
We don't have time to play it.
We don't have time to play it
because we got our traditional song that we end the show with in December.
No, I know. Alright. So, good night. Merry Christmas.
Woohoo. See you next week. And we're going to wrap up.
Bon Natale. Happy Yule.
We're going to end up with a song that we ended all of our December shows with as part of a wish and a hope. And hopefully, things of change will occur that we can retire this a little happier reason than when we retired Jerry Falwell's coming to town. So, Melissa Etheridge, sing us out with Happy Christmas, War is Over.
Oh, this is Christmas. So what have you done? Another year over, and a new one's begun.
rich Texas history, and since 1970, KPFT has been the home of the blues. From the forefathers and foremothers to the contemporary artists, 90.1 has always made Sunday blues a Houston staple. Our blues block kicks off Sunday mornings at 6 a.m. with the best of blues history in Chicago and beyond on the Red Eye Special. At 8, Mr. and Mrs. V bring you their signature brand of humor and music with Blues on the Move. At 11 on Sundays, join Nuri Nuri, who delivers you everyone from B.B. King and Bobby Bluebland to Ray Charles, Rory Block, and more on the Blues Brunch. And the Blues Hound and Baby Girl close it up at 2 on Sundays, bringing the newest blues releases on Howlin' the Blues. That's our Sunday Blues Block, starting at 6 and going all day long. For another shade of blues, stay tuned for the Bluegrass Zone on Sunday at 4. You're listening to commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio, KPFT Houston.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.